Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Heidi Goodrich comes aboard to talk about getting that all-too-vital mental edge in romance and using it to achieve better results in your love life. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm okay, thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Can you please share with us what you do at Psychic Access?
I am an intuitive empath, and I utilize tarot cards to tap into what's going on with people and help them help themselves. And I do this work because I must.
Very good. I get to see you every week dealing with our live calls, and I'm amazed every week. We're glad to have you here this evening. And also we have Nona Marie. How are you doing tonight?
Fabulous, Steve. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Glad to hear that. Can you share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
I do predictive readings, sometimes mediumship work, sometimes talking about pets. But mostly, everybody calls in about love life, such a big issue. And I'm so glad to be of service because I know how confusing all that can be.
Absolutely. Love is very important to most of us, if not all of us. And so hence the need for tonight's conversation with Heidi Goodrich. Well, thank you for being here with us, Nona Marie. Looking forward to getting yours and Maureen's opinions after the interview. And we also have with us here Steve. Greetings, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Stephen.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you here with us tonight. Would you mind sharing with our listeners what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure, Stephen. I'm a psychic medium, which means I connect with people in the spirit world. And I'm also an astrologer. I really love using astrology to provide insight, and that can be insight into the past, the present, or the future.
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating. I know we're always interested in the future, especially. How is this romance going to develop? Am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? Well, tonight, Steve, we're talking about one of the most important topics, romance. Am I going to get romance, and am I going to keep it? Do you get a call or two over at Psychic Access in regards to romantic topics, Steve?
Oh, just a few.
Yeah, just a few. Same here. They constitute probably the majority of a lot of the work that I do. And tonight, fortunately, we have someone who knows a lot about dating and romantic topics.
And she's a wonderful speaker, Stephen. I'm really very excited to hear what Heidi has to say.
Well, she's got an amazing energy, and the reason that I'm excited to have her tonight on the Psychic Viewpoint is because she's quite athletic. She's racked up some accolades in athletics and in sports, soccer particularly, and you know, her specialized training at that time. And now, after having dated for a while and gone out and had some romantic adventures, she's here to talk to us tonight about the dating world. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We're glad to have you here. So let's just go ahead and get started. Tonight's topic is, you know, how to develop a healthy mental edge in relationship issues. So let's kind of start out on the negative end of things. What are some of the unhelpful types of attitudes that hinder romantic success?
I love starting out with this question because it's something that everyone needs to get very clear about with themselves, because once you understand what doesn't work, then you can know how to correct and fix things. So one of the top mistakes that I find people make is they depend on the other person to make them feel better. Or right. They depend on the other person to be that right person, and then everything is okay. It's kind of like the same mentality of trying to lose weight, that if I lose weight, then I'll be happy, when that's not the core root cause that is the unhappiness. So that's a very important mindset to have when you're in a relationship, that you have to be your own source of happiness and you don't depend on anybody else to make you feel better.
So this is sort of like a fundamental, like a very basic type of a good way to start out. And if I don't do this, then I might suffer some ill effects later in the relationship, or I might not get my loved one's interest or something of that nature. So these are the basics.
Yeah, it's called the external locus of control in the field of psychology, where it's depending on the other person to define your self-esteem. And we all know that life is quite the adventure. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of disappointment. So if every time there's disappointment, or we don't get what it is that we need because someone else is just being human, and if that ends up destroying our self-esteem and we don't know who we are anymore, then who are you? If you're constantly depending on everybody else to make sure your world is okay, that's a very unstable foundation.
Well, I would have to agree. What interests me is that a lot of times I get people who seek me out, and ordinarily they're very high achievers, but they're having a problem in their romance. It's like their judgment gets clouded, you know. What could be responsible for that clouding of what could otherwise be a very good judgment?
Yeah, this is actually a real common one as well, because clouding of judgment really happens because there's some part of us that is needing attention or affection or that connection with that person more than what we really know is what is best for us. So it's another set of needs. Like, I know I've been up and down in the dating world, and there have been times where I have felt myself actually liking and being attracted to men that would normally not be the type I would be attracted to, but the source of that is coming from a lot of scarcity. Like, I might be under extra stress at that time, or I might have gotten in a fight with somebody, and so I'm looking for attention and affection, and it feels like that. It really feels like I'm attracted to the guy, but it's an attraction that's coming from a place that's very out of balance. Mm-hmm. So judgment gets very clouded.
So, well, much better might be to take that external control and put it inside of myself, and then perhaps attract a more appropriate partner. So that would be one way to reverse that pattern, or would you say, or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's actually the opposite. It's called the internal locus of control, and it's much more adult-like mentality. So one question that I always ask myself, and I encourage others to ask this question, is what is it that the other person is doing for me that I am not doing for myself? Uh-huh. And when you can answer that question, it brings the focus back to you and teaches you that skill set about learning how to take care of yourself when nobody else can do it for you. Because I have an amazing skill set at that. I know that even when I do attract that man that is going to have a long sustainability with me, he's going to disappoint me. He's not going to be there for me a lot of times. There are going to be moments where I really am all by myself, and that's okay. That's just part of life. I have to know how to take care of that.
Yes.
So it's a great time when you're single. It's an amazing time to develop that skill set.
When you're single, yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of problem areas I find in my work is, you know, someone will seek me out and they got a situation and they're moving very quickly. And it makes me curious, is because it's difficult to maintain a mental edge when, you know, you're feeling this force that's causing you to go fast. What would you say for those of us maybe who feel this urge to go too fast and thus maybe compromise our mental power, our mental ability to maintain that edge, you know, because we rush.
Again, any time that you are feeling any type of need to move faster, there's a panic, there's an urgency, anything like that is a symptom of you not being centered. So I know that I attract the best experiences when I just feel calm inside. I'm peaceful, I'm grounded. Whether or not that person in front of me chooses me or not, it really is okay because I take care of myself. But it's in those times, like I said before, that I might be under extra stress or may have dealt with a little bit more rejection than normal, that I start to feel that need in me. I need to go connect with someone. And there's an urgency, there's a quickness to it, that again is more external locus of control driving your need to find someone else to make you feel better. And it's tempting. And yes, many times I have done that. And there are always consequences. And it's okay. It's part of how I have learned. I've been in enough pain to where I have sat myself down and talked to a lot of different healers, developed skill sets so that now when I head into that pattern, I know how to pull myself right back to the center because I just don't want to play that game anymore. But you have to be in enough pain to want to do the work to figure out how to get yourself back in alignment.
So it sounds to me like you kind of got to suffer a little bit, got to get beat up a little bit. And, it, you know, for those of us listening to whom that's already happened, then the important thing is to learn from that and take the appropriate measures and slow things down a little bit. That's one good step to constructing the proper mental edge. Let's talk for a bit, Heidi, about certain special interest cases, certain very tricky cases. I call them undefined relationships. And, you know, one manifestation of the undefined relationship is when partner A lives, you know, in San Francisco and partner B lives in Toronto, or, you know, partner B is just moving very slowly, just taking his or her time and not reacting very enthusiastically to the relationship. So in both instances, it seems to me the relationship is undefined. It's foggy. It's in a gray area. And this is an irritant to a lot of people. How does the concept of mental discipline and mental self-control and, you know, getting happiness out of my love life, how does that apply to this sort of undefined relationship?
Well, any time that there is a confusion and you don't feel like you're on the same page as someone, you have to communicate. I know so many people, goodness, there's so much advice out there about, you know, don't confront, you know, especially if things are newer, you know, if you're just meeting somebody or just getting to know someone, people are really afraid to just be honest. So I personally need to know, like, if I am heading forward with someone and I'm not sensing that we are on the same page, I approach the situation with a curiosity. Curiosity is a great way to have some amazing conversations to get clarity. So I enter the situation with wondering, what the heck is going on? Like, how come you behave this way or you say things this way? But I preface it with, you know, I'm curious. I would love to get to know you a little bit better, and I'm sensing these kinds of responses and reactions. You know, how should I interpret that? Like, what does that mean for you? And it's a great just conversation of getting to know each other. And I will tell you, yes, I've done that many times, and it has scared people away. Like, I've had a lot of guys feel that it was too much for them to deal with. But for me, I need to know that information much sooner than later because that instantly tells me that this person is not going to be a good match for me, and that's okay. I'd rather know that sooner than later.
I like that because, for one thing, I think curiosity is an important tool in research and gathering information. And I think that these sort of undefined relationships suffer from faults of information, not having enough information about the partner. And your technique of using curiosity to sort of shortcut this process and find out exactly what you need to know, I think, is definitely very important. Since we're sort of in the area of how, you know, what happens when things go bad, here's another very common situation from my case files. Let's say that Jethro and Jane have been married for 23 years, and Jethro gets into a midlife crisis and he starts shacking up with someone 20 years younger than he is. Okay. Now, you know, Jane usually calls me up understandably upset. And my question for you is there any attitude or is there anything Jane could have done to prepared for this moment? And B, what, if anything, can Jane do to get Jethro back? And finally, C, should Jane even want Jethro back?
That's the question. I know. That's a hard question for a lot of people. Cheating. It's so sad. I would say probably 99.9% of the people that I work with have experienced that at least once in their life. And it's sad that I'm hearing it happening more and more and more even at junior high school age.
Oh my goodness.
So it's quite, I know, it's a sad dynamic. Cheating has a lot of different dynamics that influence somebody into making a decision outside of their integrity. Jane, her responsibility is, here comes that curious part again. I encourage people, I don't care if you've been married 40 years, if you wake up every single day with a mindset of, I would love to learn something new about my partner today. I wonder what is something new that I might be able to see about them. If you have that mentality of curiosity where nobody really knows your partner fully and completely because we're not in each other's heads. So if you always leave that space of wondering what are some new things you could learn about them, then it manifests a type of attitude where the person you're connected to feels like you really want to know them. There's not a complacency. So curiosity can obviously go into many categories of sexuality, of communication, you know, taking seminars every once in a while to learn new skills. I mean, relationships are limitless. So I have found the people that really stick together well, even after 40 years, that there is still a healthy bond. Their energy is very fresh and it's very new, and they explore life with their partner in many different ways. Another aspect of cheating, oh my gosh, this is a big one, stress. John Gottman is a psychiatrist that did the largest study on the face of this earth so far. It was a 20-year study looking at what makes a relationship work longer than 20 years. And there were several components that he was able to identify that were non-negotiable components, that these had to exist if a relationship was going to last and work, not just be boring and be married 50 years, but vibrant. And one of those components is when you are under stress, that the couple treats each other with respect and honor. And I find that most people that have been cheated on, there's an underlying lack of safety, underlying root cause of their needs not being met, underlying lack of trust with each other. And a lot of that ferments from the place of stress and how they communicate and treat each other when things are not so good.
Right. So maybe.
And that, honestly, that essentially starts with even yourself. Like, I have a rule, and it's on my practice all the time. I don't care how upset I am. I don't care if you said something that completely defamed me and ruined my life, my rule is that I do no harm. Do not cause harm to somebody else on purpose. You know, have an honor and respect for the spirit and the person that's in front of you. And then when you offer that to someone else, it really creates a space to receive that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you
and
say
so when
that,
needs are not met, cheating happens, essentially.
Would you say that perhaps one of Jane's mistakes may have been that she became complacent toward Jethro and didn't allow herself to be curious towards him and to learn more about him as he evolved through the years, and thus and also I'm thinking that maybe Jane divested herself of any kind of radar, any ability to pick up on Jethro when he's drifting too far away
yeah.
from where he should be.
Yeah, there really are so many patterns, so many people, both men and women, when I'm helping them through scenarios like this. Hindsight 2020, they're looking back going, I saw this coming. I saw this coming. But in the moment, they weren't awake enough, curious enough, interested enough to pay attention to any of that. And, you know, it's obviously both sides. You know, if the person who is cheating, they might have poor impulse control. They may not be very good at communicating and getting their needs met. So they obviously have a responsibility in making a decision like that. So it's definitely a two-way street.
Yeah, it's that's one thing I like about this approach is that it embraces personal responsibility. You know, what can I do to mm-hmm. get a better result? And, you know, I have to just say that in cases of the especially troubling relationships, I cannot overemphasize what having a mental edge will do when it comes to, I guess, scouting out problems before they become terrible, terrible problems. I think that could be one of the bigger advantages of having increased sensitivity and increased self-awareness is that, you know, it'll allow you to separate the wheat from the chaff very early on. Before perhaps you get attached to an abuser or somebody like that. So what are your thoughts, Heidi, about, you know, developing that mental edge, you know, cultivating your mental powers and strength as in a prophylactic way, in a way to sort of as a radar or a force field, you know, to weed out all of those and they're probably going to be the majority of them who don't fit the bill and who lack what it takes to make you happy.
Yeah, oh, this is such a good question. This is probably my favorite part is coaching people in the process of dating because it's so exciting. Okay, so first, you have to really get familiar with symptoms and behavior of people. So for example, I watch someone in the beginning. I look at their impulse control abilities. This is a symptom. If a person does not have very good impulse control, even if it might be just with eating, let's say they overeat, even they may undereat, but there's an impulse that impulse control is a very childlike energy, and a lot of that can come from past, you know, wounded, challenging experiences. So I watch how someone behaves in their life with their money, with how they take care of themselves. Do they have addictive behaviors? And let me just preface all of this with is I see a lot of symptoms, but I just initially I take them as symptoms and I might see something, but it doesn't mean that it is exactly what I see. So it's very important for people to recognize a symptom, and it's just like a mental check. And then you just start to pay attention to see if there's a pattern of that exists. So a basic baseline is one, if something happens one time, it's just a one-time thing. And if it happens twice, it's a weak pattern. If it happens three times, it's a strong pattern. Now, I'm not saying three times over a year, but you're seeing something happen pretty close to each other. So if I'm seeing, you know, somebody excessively spend money, you know, three times in a row, I start to really take that symptom a bit more seriously. I also Always, always. This is a rule that I offer to everyone that is out there dating. You truly, truly cannot fully and completely love someone until you have seen them in their worst and you know that you can still love them in that space. And that's a hard one sometimes because that may take a bit of time before you see a person under stress. I've had plenty of experiences where I really liked a guy and then all of a sudden something happens at his job, or maybe I did something, I don't know, and he gets stressful and he might disconnect, or he might yell, or he might get verbally abusive. That is an instant. I won't go there, because if I can't feel safe with him when he is under stress, our relationship is not going to go anywhere.
Agreed. I mean, one benefit to having this sort of psychic ability, this psychic force field, this mental edge, is you can deflect, perhaps, for lack of a better word, wolves in sheep's clothing, because people can hide this sort of defect in their personality that you described, a terrible temper or an abusive personality. People can hide that for a very long time. And so if you have increased mental strength, if you're as strong as you can be mentally, and you know, you've internalized all of those external loci of control, then your ability to spot the wolf in the sheep's clothing has increased a great deal. And I think that's probably a lost art among people in the modern dating world.
It is. I have all kinds of secret questions that I'll ask them. Like, for example,
wow,
what would be your favorite morning? What's your favorite morning? And the answers that I get will tell me whether they're a morning person or not. You know, some people want it. Like, for example, here's one extreme. I asked one guy that, and he says, oh, I'd wake up and go surfing. And that was it. Like, that was his answer. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't very fun. So he's not very creative. He's not imagining being with somebody. Surfing is obviously very important with him, and that's probably not something I want to compete with. Versus someone else who love that question and they get excited about it. You feel the passion come out, the details come out. That's telling me that's a much more like-minded person with me, because they love the creativity. They have an ability to fantasize. Fantasizing and daydreaming is a real important quality for a healthy psyche. If you can't do that, that's a big red flag. Big red flag.
Let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this real quickly then. If you're interested in longevity in relationship, and if fantasizing and imagining things is so powerful for your own psyche, then what would you say, for example, about mutual fantasizing, about having a project that you and your partner can fantasize about or imagine together, you know, like having a farm in Connecticut, or, you know, running a ranch in Texas or whatever, no matter how goofy it is? What are the merits for that approach in maintaining and giving longevity to a relationship?
Oh, yeah, because it's so fun. It's playful. You know, it's very important. This is another important thing to look at when you're looking for a match with somebody, is you have to have a like-mindedness in how you play together. So there really can be a lot of disconnect if one person may go play by, you know, disappearing into video games, and the other one wants to go out for a run or go out hiking, and there's not a like-mindedness there. Those are off times when you could be together and bond together, fantasize together, create together. In all of those creative details, you also get to have a little bit more information about who it is that you're choosing, or even who you have chosen. It satisfies that curiosity about getting to know something new about your person.
And plus, it seems to me that
another part.
Sorry, go ahead.
I also wanted to say this really quick. It's very important is I always have a support system. So if I come across somebody that I'm starting to take more seriously and I'm interested in, they go through my filter of, as silly as this may sound, they meet my dog. That's the very first person they meet. Because I've come across guys who, like, walk in and ignore her, not very interested. You can kind of tell they're not much of a dog person. Okay, that's a check off the list. You know, they meet my friends. I take them out into social situations, and I watch their interactions. I watch how people respond to them. So I also have other avenues of people getting to meet them, so that also my close network of people can give me their opinions and experiences. So I'm not just working with only myself. I'm getting other viewpoints.
That's very interesting. I had this idea, for example, that we can use this as a gauge to test. For example, let's say that your partner doesn't cooperate with your fantasies and your imaginings. Then this might be the sort of person who'll text you, but who might have other relationship problems with you down the road, like boredom. But if the person is irritated by your questions and is irritated by the fantasy and wants to change the topic, then this might translate to a partner who might not text you at all, or might, abuse you through abandonment or something of that nature. What do you think about that idea?
I have experienced that probably more often than not. I hear quite a bit, you ask too many questions. And you know what? That's totally okay, because fundamentally, here's the platform for everybody. I like that about myself. I like a lot how curious I am. On the flip end of things, the boyfriends and more serious relationships I have had, what every single one of them have said to me at some point was that they have never been known so well. They've never been known so well. And it feels amazing. So I know there are people out there that really like that part of me. And because I like that part of me, I'm not changing it. It's the fuel for my life. It keeps me alive and interested and engaged. And so if someone sits in front of me and says that, that's an instant sign for me going, I am going to drive this person nuts, and he does not need to deal with that, and nor do I. It's not a right or a wrong. It's just a difference. We're just different.
So here we've used mental power as a diagnosing tool, but of course it takes another kind of mental power to have the courage and the discipline to say, I'm going to permanently separate myself from this person that I've got my hopes set on. That's another facet of mental power altogether, and it's a lot harder.
So hard. Yeah, the back end of things, who I was when I dated when I was a lot younger compared to now is a complete 360. When I was younger, I was a lot more narcissistic, not very connective and caring. I still was a very high communicator, but There were a lot of issues from my past and my childhood that really influenced how I experienced dating and relationships. So the back end of all of this, we all want to feel happy. We all want to be connected and have that love that is powerful and limitless and vibrant. The bottom line is you cannot attract any of that or even receive that and handle that or support that type of love unless you can offer that yourself first. So I've been for the past 10, 15 years, and I will for the rest of my life, working with healers, developing my skill set. I have an accountability system where I am constantly growing and evolving on myself. And as I get rejected, as things don't work out, it's okay, but I have enough strength. I can risk. Like, I have so much strength to know that I am resilient, that no matter what that person does or chooses, I'm okay. I will be okay. I can handle anything. So I have that trust within inside of myself, and that's essential. A lot of people want to put trust in the other person. I trust that person that they'll never hurt me or that they'll never cheat on me. It's not about that. It's about trusting yourself enough to know that no matter what anybody else chooses, you are okay. You can handle it.
We can use this mental power and discipline to identify external loci of control and internal places of control as well. But it seems to bring to mind the idea that there might be a locus of chaos, the opposite of control, where perhaps when you know someone was a child in school and was picked on, or perhaps from a cruel or inconsiderate parent, you know, at some point in childhood, we've had these, perhaps some of us who've had a worse result in romance, we may have had the wrong attitude imprinted upon us in childhood. We're losers, we're ugly, we're this, we're that. And what do you think about, is it possible to use mental power to go back in time, to identify that locus of chaos and to wipe it out, to begin to work with it somehow?
I would not really use the word mental power. I would just use the word choice. A lot of people, okay, here's a concept. It's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. That as issues might come up, so let's say, for example, I'm a very jealous person. I've been cheated on a lot. I Facebook stalk, I Twitter stalk, I Instagram stalk, because I don't trust my guy and I think he's going to cheat on me. Okay, so that's not his fault. You know, like he didn't create that pattern in you. That is your own pattern where the source of those belief systems happened way before this current person came along. And so it's a matter of taking that choice, making the choice, going, this is not who I want to be. What do I need to do to fix it? And a lot of people, what they do, most people, is they will go around, they will talk to people, they will gather information, they might contact you for a reading, they'll read books. So they're feeding their knowledge really well. Like they might even start to really understand where those patterns happen, where they came from, and they can become very intelligent. Unfortunately, that is just the first half. So there are a lot of patterns that I don't care how much you educate yourself, it doesn't change. You just become smarter about the pattern. So there's another half of what needs to happen, which is the healing part. So it's a part of where I've had to work with a lot of specialists in different perspectives and healers where they've been able to take me to places deep inside my woundedness and child energy to create healing for me because I couldn't do that by myself. So there's another level that we have to go to where you take that knowledge and then you bring it deeper and deeper and deeper into your psyche, where wisdom is knowledge put into action. So wisdom is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt you just are lovable because of who you are, not because you do this or you do that or you have the right body or you have enough money or you're smart enough, because all that stuff is just fluffy stuff, you know. It doesn't have much sustainability because eventually all that goes away, especially when we're older. So it's about deepening that knowledge and taking it to a whole nother level where you actually have a skill set and you submit yourself to people that you respond really well to and that you trust that have an ability to help you heal that core root woundedness that established those negative patterns in the first place.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I want to remind everybody that you can find Heidi on the internet at HeidiGoodrich.com. She just launched her website. You can sign up for her mailing list. And, of course, she does a really excellent five-week online workshop. And we're about to take a one-minute commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about internet dating and Facebook and a whole lot more. So do not go away. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. you don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back. We have here with us Heidi Goodrich, and we're talking about mind power and romance. And so far, we've talked about a whole catalog of scenarios, Heidi. Now let's talk about internet romance and Facebook and things of that sort. So, well, let's just start from scratch here. If I want to get into internet dating, should I stop and ponder whether or not I'm fit for it? First, or whether or not I need to prepare for it first,
Internet dating is pretty rough. It can be very challenging. So before I encourage anyone to head down that pathway, the first thing I recommend is to get very clear and specific as to what your goals are. I know for people that are just coming out of relationship, or maybe they've been single for a while and they feel like dating again, I like to just encourage people to view the experience as just a way to get to know themselves. So they get to experience a lot of different personalities where they can develop certain skill sets of communication, setting boundaries, you know, practicing the skill set of recognizing symptoms that could be danger symptoms. It's a skill. It's quite a skill to become intelligent enough about yourself to figure out what works well for you and what does not work well for you. And the kind of people that do not do very well with internet dating are the kind that don't have a very healthy relationship with rejection, because that happens all the time. There's a lot of rejection in internet dating.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal, you know. It's kind of like choosing a puppy in a pet store almost, and, you know, the rejection happens at a very, very rapid rate. So I have to have a certain healthy type of ego in order to survive that tide of rejection.
Yes. Okay. So there's a very, how do I say this? Okay. I consider myself to have a pretty strong core sense of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I can handle quite a bit. Not that my feelings don't get hurt. I definitely have areas of low self-esteem, but my skill set, I'm pretty resilient. I get back up onto my feet pretty quickly and get recentered every single time. The thing is when you head into online dating, and because rejection is happening at such a fast rate, even someone like me, where I've had a lot of practice and skill sets, I start to plummet. Like, honestly, I can last about a week and a half, 2 weeks before, where I'm having fun. There's a lot of communicating. There's some fun dates. And I've met some great guys, good conversations. But then there's a point where I start to feel myself, like, all of a sudden I'm noticing myself clicking on my inbox all the time to look, did he respond? Did he say something? I'm checking out all the messages all the time, and I start to find myself get very hooked on the attention, or therefore the lack of attention that might be happening as well. And I start to feel myself get off center and not have very much fun anymore. So it's at that point, I know this about myself really well, I just stop, because that's not what I want to participate in. So it's very important to protect yourself. A lot of people, they don't define healthy emotional health very well. They think emotional health many times is being someone who doesn't have a lot of emotional baggage and they don't have a lot of stress in life. Emotional health is, first of all, knowing how to take care of yourself when things happen, But it also means that you have a lower pain tolerance. I used to have such a high pain tolerance. I went through so much, and I literally would stay in certain situations that were not healthy for me because I was so determined to master it where I wouldn't get hurt anymore. And then one of my therapists at the time said to me, Heidi, healthy people, they get out. They have a lower pain tolerance where they go, I don't want to deal with that, and they leave. And they don't participate anymore. So I find this phenomenon happening a lot with internet dating, that that people just stay in it over and over and over, and they just keep getting stabbed in the stomach from all kinds of horrible communication. Obviously, the number one thing I hear from both men and women is, I thought we had a great connection, and then they disappeared. Where did they go?
Yeah,
he asked me out.
Yeah.
But then he never showed up. I never heard from him. Or, yeah, she was flirting with me. She had all these signals and things were great. We were intimate. And now she's not calling me or responding to my text. What the heck happened?
Yeah, very common.
That's so common. And I always have to bring people back to, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what happened. What matters is that it did happen. And if it happens, you need to walk away. You need to start taking care of yourself. And you need to know that if it did happen, that's enough information to know that this person's not going to match very well for you anyway. I know a lot of people, they try to rehook that person. And every time I go, listen, if this person is ignoring you now, when it's not even stressful, maybe they're just afraid to tell you that they're not interested, so they choose to ignore. Is that the kind of person that you want to have in your life, even when you're arguing? Because that's exactly what they're going to do to you when things are stressful. They're going to ignore you. They're going to have a hard time being honest. So if you're not seeing those qualities and behaviors in the very beginning when things are easy, it sure as heck isn't going to show up later on.
Let me ask you this, Heidi. You know, I'm convinced there are certain people in relationship who, unfortunately, their mental programs are saying, you know, hurt me. I expect it. And they communicate this to their loved one. I worry about that sort of person getting online because, let's face it, the online dating world is almost purely mental. It's almost purely psychic, you see. And in this way, I worry about these people getting on the internet where it's a lot easier for them to subtly send this subtext that it's appropriate to mistreat me. I am a worthy receptacle for your anger and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what I worry about most of all because, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of predatory sorts out there and, you know, a lot of them thrive on the internet. So we have to have some sort of self-defense mechanism, psychically, mentally.
Yeah. Well, the challenge about that aspect in particular is that many times those belief systems are very buried. It's a very subconscious belief system that is at the core root cause. So usually people that have the core root cause of who they are, you know, grew up in abuse, they haven't been loved very well. So there's a core belief system that is actually choosing and attracting certain people into their world, but it's a subconscious belief system. So this is why it is so important to start to understand the symptoms of yourself first, and then you can understand them and the people around you. So me, for example, I do have a very high tolerance to stress in life. So I can usually tell, I know that about myself, so I can tell when I'm driving, I'm usually just a very calm, regular driver, like nothing, I'm safe, I go to the speed limit, I'm cozy there, like that's where I feel natural and centered. But then there are times that if someone cuts me off or they honk at me or whatever, and I get irritated and then I start to drive more aggressively, or I'm instantly reactive, and I, of course, say a few expletives in my mind. I know that's a symptom right there of something deeper going on. So the moment I recognize the symptom, I'm starting to trail it back to, okay, what's going on right now that you're not centered and balanced and figuring things out, like dealing with what you need to deal with. So when you're out there dating, you know, if you view every single person in your life as a mirror to who you are, you will get a lot of information about yourself. You know, who I used to attract when I was younger were very, you know, the bad boy kind of guys, the ones that didn't communicate very well. They played the games, and that's what I was attracted to. And then, of course, the nice guys finished last. Like, I had no interest in them whatsoever, versus now it's entirely reversed. So anybody I invite into my space now, the higher vibration, there's a lot of respect and honor and communication. And if it's anything less than that, then, you know, this is where we have standards. We have to have standards. We have to have standards. So many people don't have standards. So here's one thing you can do. This is usually where I start people, is creating the vision of what it is that you really want to experience, what kind of relationship you want to have. And you can even get as detailed as what it's like to wake up with them in the morning, what it's like to spend an entire day traveling with them in Italy. What would it be like to argue with them? What would it be like to cook dinner with them, you know, a couple nights a week? Imagine those details and what you feel like. And then you've got to create what I call the non-negotiable list. And this is the only list that I go by. On this list are the characteristics, the qualities that have to exist in order for you, yourself personally, work well in a relationship. They are non-negotiable. And this is a list that will change over time as you evolve and change, as you test those things on the list to make sure it's really, truly non-negotiable. So for me, one thing that was on my list when I was younger, I'm like, I have to be an athlete. I cannot date a non-athlete. It won't work for me. And then I'm like, okay, we got to test this out. So I dated a guy who wasn't an athlete, but he actually was active. Like, he would go out on hikes, you know, he would go exercise at the gym. And I found myself going, well, yeah, that's totally workable. That's doable. That's on my non-negotiable list. Being an athlete, that's negotiable. You know, some other things, like, I have to have romance. I cannot survive in a relationship without romance. I cannot survive in a relationship without a high communicator. I cannot survive in a relationship with a man who doesn't honor and respect me when we're in our worst. So it's getting very clear, and stubborn that you don't negotiate these qualities. And this is where judgment gets clouded. This is where relationships end up not working out long term, because people will have, oh, but they're this and they're this and they're so amazing and we're so fun and I've never felt like this. But all of that becomes more important. So they start to negotiate those qualities, and that's where people will start to get into trouble.
So don't let your partner weasel or wiggle his way out of it. Be like POTUS, the President of the United States. We don't negotiate with terrorists. All right, we don't negotiate.
Yeah.
This is non-negotiable. I think that's excellent. That's outstanding. Great tool for honing your mental edge there. But, you know, I also want to ask you in our closing minutes here about Facebook real quick, because it's obvious to me that Facebook is a special arena. If Facebook were an online kibbutz or commune, your Facebook page is like the place where your brain lives at, your psyche lives at. Any tips on Facebook behaviors?
Okay, number one tip about anything online, really about any situation, but this happens most online through Facebook or, you know, Twitter, all those stuff. Do not think that you actually understand the intent behind what is being said. So So people a lot of times will say things or do things with a very specific intent, but it's received by someone else in an entirely different way. So you have to first and foremost understand that what you are reading and what you might perceive as your boyfriend cheating on you or your girlfriend is flirting, and we can't overreact before we have the full information. So you might have a reaction, like, not that I don't have those kind of reactions initially, but I immediately start to go, Heidi, you don't know what they really mean. Go gather information, talk to them, actually talk to them. Don't use technology to communicate issues that have depth to them, you know, where there needs to be a conversation. And go gather the information before you really decide whether what they did or said is harmful or damaging or inappropriate.
All right. Well, Heidi, I want to thank you for joining us. We've run out of time. I want to remind everyone again, you can find Heidi at HeidiGoodrich.com. You are doing some workshops here pretty soon, aren't you, Heidi?
Yeah, I have a 5-week course coming up online, and that's where I am going to go into all kinds of details to help you, like the details of symptoms, the details of communication, how do you magnify the vibrancy and passion in a relationship. And this is even great for single people. Like, I'm single right now, and I use these skills all the time to relate to the people around me. So it's a full in-depth system from beginning to end that will help transform your idea about what to do and how to go about getting that.
Very good. Very good. Well, Heidi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Oh, very good. We'll see you later, Heidi. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch our last week's show, you'll find the recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Also, visit psychicbloggers.com to find a compendium of resources, articles, blogs on all topics relating to psychism and spirituality, reincarnation, soulmates, the paranormal, everything is on psychicbloggers.com. And if you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Also, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone. Oh, Maureen. Hello, Maureen. I'm curious to get your perspective on the matters that were at hand.
Oh, it was an excellent... Oh, I'm echoing a bit. It was an excellent... It was an excellent interview, and she was extremely informative. And there is one thing I would like to say from my own perspective is a big red flag if a person does not know where their exes are.
Ah.
It's and it sounds very silly, but it really isn't because my own personal experience with somebody that his exes and his ex-wife even never wanted to have anything to do with him ever again. And even though that seems odd, there's something about that. There would be some good reasons why perhaps that's going on.
Huh.
And so a lot of people go, I don't like a person that, you know, has friends with their exes or whatever. And I say they're a good person if their exes are friends with them still.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I got to tell you, Maureen, I've learned a lot about myself from my exes. You know, like, Stephen, you're so deficient in this and that. And, you know, it really helps to know that information. They've been great, a great refining tool, you know.
Well, the fact that they ever want to see you again is a very good positive thing. Really, it is. When somebody doesn't know why or their exes never want to have anything to do with them, again, there must be something about that. And I'm here to say that there is something wrong with that picture.
That, you know, that's true. I didn't really think of it in those terms.
But before, yeah.
You know, it makes all the sense in the world. If there's something that is just so fundamentally sour that the relationship, that the bridge is burned.
It's scary. It's scary. Yeah. Or somebody was scary and abusive or whatever. They never want to have anything to do with that person again. You know, really, there's something you should really be aware of that.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, I suppose that's the thing that concerns me the most is, you know, the potential for abuse. You know, relationships can be the arena of some of the cruelest behavior possible. You know, and I would love to be able to empower our listeners and our customers at Psychic Access to sort of sidestep the worst of that, if at all possible, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, Nona Marie, what were your opinions on some of the topics that we raised?
Oh, I thought she was fantastic. It was a great subject, and it should be required listening for all the people who call into Psychic Access.
Yeah, there's
so many great tips, you know, there's so much good common sense there and good knowledge. And a lot of times people think that just the psychic perspective is good enough, but we do need a good dose of common sense and knowledge. And she really, really offered that up. It was great.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, I'm fascinated by the concept that, you know, mental fitness is such an important role in shaping my romantic outcome. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the fundamental issue. And what I liked about her approach is it relies on asking questions. You know, now I believe in the power of questions to engineer curiosity. And so if you can engineer curiosity in the person that you've pinned your heart's desire on, mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, maybe we can solve a whole bunch of these he never texts me problems right off the bat. You know what I mean? Well, maybe you need to engineer some curiosity. Maybe you can engineer some passion. Now, you know, that brings up some ethical questions as well. You know, we got a sorcerer and a sorcerer's apprentice situation where you might call forth some energies and, you know, maybe not have the ability to take responsibility for the monster you've created. You know, you have to be prepared for that, too, for everything to work, you know.
Yeah, this is very good stuff. The Gottman study that she referred to is phenomenal, and that's something to me also with the internet now. It's so easy to get information. It's, you know, it's so funny because we don't live in villages. We don't have tribes and elders and the men's council and the woman's lodge or anything. And people go out to try to have relationships with absolutely no help, no background information, no one to talk to about it. And so, we don't have that. We're not growing up in a collective anymore where we have support built in, but we do have things now like the internet where people can look up things about dating and about red flags and common mistakes that are made. And it's a shame that more people don't go to her workshop, Heidi's workshop, and look into information like this and instead seem to choose to learn through experience, which can often be the school of hard knocks. That's pretty tough sometimes.
It is. And I'll tell you, you know, being able, especially with the internet, you know, which again is almost purely mental, you know, the idea that our weaknesses can become even more apparent to predatory people, you know, this makes it even more important to have some sort of psychic edge, some sort of self-protection. In the dating arena. So I thought it was a pretty important subject matter. Steve, what was your opinion on the topic?
Well, I thought it was a great interview, Stephen. And, you know, I've had the honor of meeting Heidi a couple of years ago, and I did actually attend one of her workshops. I've done a lot of workshops and a lot of different training over the years, whether that's, you know, metaphysical training, academic work, or training in corporations. Heidi's program, the one-day workshop, or the two-day workshop, I think it was actually, that I attended, I would say it's probably the most transformational training and development experience I've ever had. She's extremely knowledgeable, and she's really very interesting to talk to about things like the law of attraction. You know, how do we actually create the world? How do we create our futures? She's very well researched as well. Really smart and fascinating lady.
Yeah, she's got a very very vibrant energy as well. You know, she's quite disciplined in that regard, and I thought that was important because, Steve, and I'm curious to hear what all you guys have to say about this. To me, the idea of mental discipline is vital in romance. I think there's an urge when we start up with someone new, someone special, there's an urge that, hey, you know, I can totally let, you know, my guard down and just relax and enjoy this relationship that I have a right to, you know. And so, I think that the idea of discipline is important.
I think that the what strikes me about relationships and, you know, relationships that I've been in and discussions with clients about relationships, the thing that that really stands out to me is that we don't know ourselves well enough. So we know as metaphysicians that there are many ways to really deepen our self-understanding and looking at ourselves through a metaphysical lens is really powerful because we have an enormous unconscious content, but we sort of wander around in life with our conscious awareness, not stopping to think that everything we create is filtered through the unconscious content. And my belief, my understanding is that the unconscious content is the soul. So we've had many experiences of life, many experiences of consciousness before this lifetime. And all of that information, all of those experiences and orientations sit there unconsciously. And that's what we're creating with. But if we don't delve in there to understand all of that content, how do we fully take control of ourselves, how do we master ourselves? And then obviously what happens is you meet somebody else and you have two people that don't understand themselves. And when you get really close to somebody, at some point they see the worst of you. And I think that Heidi's comment about actually seeing the worst in somebody and that being the measure, because if you see the worst in somebody and you can still say, I love you, I want to be with you, then you have got a strong relationship. But I guess in summary, my point is that self-discovery, self-mastery is critical. And you see relationships go wrong so often when people don't understand themselves enough and you have two people in a relationship, one or both of whom are not committed to their self-mastery. And sorry, Stephen, one last point is that the problem, you know as well as I do, that when you speak to clients that have been in relationships for a long time, it often goes wrong when one of them has engaged in a lot of self-mastery and the other has not. The other has refused to. And then a big gap develops.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because in my 20s, unfortunately, I illustrated the principle that you described there, and I was curious what, you know, if this has happened to you guys before, where I used some mental power to craft the relationship I wanted, and to my dismay, discovered that I was no longer interested in the relationship. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and I obviously dismantled it. And, you know, has that it happened to you guys before? You know, it raises the idea that, hey, you know, when you get, are you prepared for what you want when you get what you want? Which is a good question to ponder in advance, but I didn't know that in my 20s, unfortunately.
I found, Stephen, that I can tell you that the only really good, really healthy relationship I've had is the one that I'm in right now. And it didn't come to me until I did a lot of work on myself, a lot of spiritual work, a lot of self-development work, facing my demons, working through these things, really consciously integrating what I've experienced in the past, where I've gone wrong, the incorrect choices I'd made, the bad behaviors I'd displayed. And it's when I really worked with all of that and said to Spirit and said to my mother on the phone one day, you know, I've created a life that's really nice, that's really good, and I know that there are always ups and downs, but I'm okay. I don't have to be with somebody. And if my life is like this, it's this good, I can continue to create and maintain this, and I'm not in a relationship, it's okay. It's just fine. And I let go of the whole concept. I released, I detached. And then, shortly after, I met a wonderful person.
So it's like as soon as you stopped looking for it, you found what you were looking for.
Yeah. It's the concept of detachment in the law of attraction or mental alchemy. Because if we are fixated upon something, you know, I must be with that person or I must be in a relationship, then the core of that sentiment is lack, it's scarcity, it's fear of not having that or not being with that person or not being in a relationship. So you're resonating scarcity, you're resonating fear. So what do you create? You create a relationship that reinforces that exact sentiment. When you let go and you say, well, I'm just fine, my life's really good, and you truly mean it, then energy shift.
Excellent.
Stephen, well, I know I'm rambling on, but I'm excited because I have to tell you this one thing. I remember I have really interesting dreams, and in some of them I'm able to attend classes. And I remember a dream quite some time ago, and I was in a large auditorium of people that were listening to a spiritual master speaking. And he was talking away, and a lady put her hand up and he said, "Yes, madam, You have a question. I'd be delighted to answer it for you." And she said, "Yes, I was wondering, how do you find something?" He said, "That's very simple, madam. Stop looking for it."
Very wise advice. And from a dream, excellent advice. I've had that happen in my life too, where when I just threw my hands up, it materialized what I wanted materialized. I call it the bribing God effect, because I see it in most people when they say, "I'll never love again. I'm done with love," you know, that sort of thing. You know, I think underwriting that is a sort of unspoken, you know, "I dare you," or, you know, "I dare you to make me happy," sort of a situation. But Maureen, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the, I guess, the worst or the more common types of relationship problems that you come across in your practice?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things people are, they're connected to people that are no good, you know, that,
yeah.
You know, you call them soul, I don't like using that word, but they're labeled soulmates. Sometimes they're not really the best of best, and you can go against everything, and they're just, in a bad way, connected to this person. And, you know, it can be really sad, because they'll usually be people that will short circuit each other out.
Yeah.
No matter what. Or they're people that are not attainable. They're married to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to kind of, I have to be as objective as I can and detach from what the story is.
Right, right.
You know, so it's, and you have to detach from logical for analyzing it too. That's very difficult. And sometimes, you know, those relationships will find their way and they'll work out. And they'll be lifelong partners, sometimes more than the best. They'll not work out, but it's very difficult when you're talking to somebody about those kind that they're involved in.
Yeah, I would agree, because we were talking about an attachment that might be a challenge or possibly could be harmful to the person. And, you know, those sorts of attachments are definitely difficult. Let me go ahead and pass out the call-in number now. We're getting to that point of the show where we'll be taking your free live call-in readings. The number is 724-444 1-800-273-4851. Now, please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So once you get on the line, you'll be able to hear the show. So just listen to the show and we'll get you on the air as soon as we possibly can. And when you get on the air, we ask that you be very direct with one question. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. Now, Nona Marie, I wanted to ask you what some of your problem areas were in your practice.
Oh, my goodness. Good question. I think a lot, there's a lot of question in the area that I live in particular about fate and what has been decided before we get here.
Right.
Versus the laws of attraction and the secret and what we can do. And it seems that a lot of Westerners, particularly the area I live in, but not so much with international people that I work with, they want to know the secret of how to get what they want. And that's not always a healthy thing to get what we want.
Yes.
It's
healthier sometimes to know what we should want.
Yes, and also a lot of times, you know, we've come here to learn and grow. So what we want is what the lower aspects of our personality are desiring. There's not a lot of people that call in to Psychic Access and say, you know, what do I need to do to connect more with spirit and reach enlightenment? They more call in and want to know, how will I get the man, the woman, the job, the money?
Yeah.
And Earth. Important. It is definitely important, but I guess I come from such an Eastern perspective that we have chosen the majority of our life before we come here. We've set up like this monopoly board that we're going to now go through the game in order to learn and grow. And my belief system is not that we get to change a lot while we're here because just because we want to bail out, but what we get to do instead is look at why is it happening? Because we chose this to happen. And so how is it pushing us beyond our limits to grow and expand in a way that we could have never imagined with our little earth brain mind? And we set it up when we were in our big spiritual self mind with help. So that perspective is hard to handle sometimes with people to get to that place, especially when people are in a lot of pain or in a lot of fear. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We set the parameters and the rules. We have to abide by them. Well, Nona, interestingly, you have the floor, and you also have a caller from New York.
Oh, New York, my hometown. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Anne.
Hi, Anne. What can I do for you?
So there's this guy that I've been talking to on Facebook. He lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. He is a friend of a friend on Facebook, and I guess we kind of sort of got into a relationship online, and he's planning to visit in December, but I'm getting mixed messages from him. I'm not sure what he's all about, and I don't know if it's safe for me to let him into my apartment, and, you know.
You know, he feels like a very good guy to me, and he is safe to let in your apartment. However, I would not do that because you're not on that basis with him. You're just getting to know him in person, and I don't think that's appropriate to do that where you have no space to get away and process. That's, you know, your own place. So I would just on a regular common sense level completely advise you not to have him in your place. Have him stay in a hotel so you guys can get some breathers from each other. He's a very nice person, and I think he is having second thoughts just because it's sort of coming into reality. But I think your biggest thing is that he is not going to leave Texas. He loves Texas. And he may be coming to see you, which is a wonderful thing, but you need to seriously think about whether you're willing to leave New York and learn how to rope cows and talk like this. I'm kidding, but you understand.
I'm not planning on marrying him or anything. I just wanted to make sure I'm safe.
You are safe. However, like I said, if he's in your place, you have no emotional space to process what's going on. So I would completely not have him in your house. honestly. It's not that you won't be safe. It's that you will be overwhelmed. It'll be too much, too fast for both of you, and it will end up pushing you apart rather than bringing you together.
Okay. Has he actually lied about anything, like made up stuff?
No, he's embellished some things, you know, in storytelling, but nothing that's a lie, no. He's a pretty honest guy. He does like a good time, and he likes to make stories sound better than they are for that, but I would not call it lying. And I think it's a pretty serious commitment for him to say he wants to come to New York and see you.
So does he actually like me?
Absolutely. Why would he come to New York otherwise?
I don't know. Sometimes I think men just come to have sex.
Ah, yeah, there is that. But he could get plenty of it where he is. He really does have that available to him. So he's not such a dog and horrible and all that he has to travel to the East Coast to get something. Do you know what I'm saying? So there is something there. I would just take it a little bit slow and make sure you have some emotional space from it. One of the biggest things that destroys relationships is jumping in too quickly, too fast, and everybody gets overwhelmed, and then they run away.
So is he actually going to come here, or is it going to, or is he going to cancel it?
I think you need to make it very clear to him that you want him to come, and that you don't want him to stay with you, and that will give a little bit of safety for both of you, and I think he will come. But if you start wobbling, he will pick that up, and he will back down also.
Okay. All right. So thank you very much.
You be the confident one, and you be the one that's excited for him to come. But I would also make it clear that he needs to stay somewhere else so you guys can take it easy. And I think that will make him more comfortable too. He will never say that because he's afraid you'll get the wrong idea then that he's rejecting you and doesn't want to be with you, etc.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Nona Marie. If you'd like a reading with Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, Steve, you have a caller from Wisconsin.
Hi, who's calling from Wisconsin?
Hi, my name is Duena.
Hello, Duena, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm great, thank you, Duena. How can we help you?
Yes. I just recently found out I was pregnant, and I was just wondering what you see with my pregnancy. I've had some problems with other previous pregnancies, and I was just wondering how you see this pregnancy going, if it's going to be a healthy pregnancy, and if all is going to go well, and how it's going to be.
Okay. I do feel that it goes well, but you've got to stay close to your medical advisors, obviously. I'm drawn to the number 5, to be honest, and I feel that the fifth month of pregnancy is potentially a time when you really need to be resting. One of the issues with you, to be honest, I feel, is that you get quite anxious. So you're quite you're one of these people that's very active in life. You're busy. You do a lot, and really you need to slow down. So I feel that if you calm your anxiety about it, if you relax, if you take good care of yourself, I feel that you can carry the pregnancy just fine. I can see where you've had problems in the past. The cards are showing me that, and I feel for you. But you have to say, well, you know, right now I'm pregnant, and this is really exciting. And I'm really going to cherish this time and slow down, allow it to give you a different perspective, a perspective that this is the most important thing and that you should slow down and really take care of yourself. But I feel, in answer to your question, that yes, you can carry the pregnancy.
So everything will be fine. I just have this, I mean, I don't know if you can see, like, if it's what the sex may be with the baby, or if that's something that you can't.
Okay. I can't take a second question from you, but I'll give you a tip. If you look at your astrology and look at the look at the sign of the zodiac on the cusp of your fifth house. If it's a masculine sign, that's often an indication that you would have a masculine child, or vice versa. Okay.
You're saying because I'm on the cusp of what the sign is that. What,
yeah, the cusp of the fifth house, if you know your time of birth, and you look at whether that's a masculine or feminine sign of the zodiac. But you can contact us at Psychic Access, and we'll look at that for you as well. Okay?
Oh, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, and congratulations. If you would like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Maureen, you have a caller from Virginia.
Thank you. Hello, Virginia.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm calling because it was. I have a question regarding my husband. You know, our marriage was separated, and I'm getting some mixed vibes from him. So I don't know what to go on with him. So I'm just trying to clear up where he's coming from and how he's feeling. Is he going to come back home? Because I'm getting
it. Oh, I got it. I feel that, you know, this is what I'm seeing. It looks like he's not feeling the best. He's not feeling really great. That he looks like he's exhausted. It looks like he's a bit down. Does that sound about right? Because
yes, it is. Yes.
You know, so. There's something, you know, he's just been going through some stuff. I don't feel that it's about him detaching or giving you mixed messages. I feel he's like just really quite simply not feeling up to par. And I do feel that, you know, I see within the next 4 weeks, I see a really great turnaround as far as what his actions are, and I see it really positive. So what I'm saying is, within the next 4 weeks, I see a wonderful turnaround. I see him much more warm, much more open to your relationship. Also, you know, and really, I want to tell you also, I feel that you're being very hard on yourself, and I guess I want to say that. Your expectations are too high on your own self, and I see that you have a tendency maybe to get really down and depressed, and you wouldn't let anybody know this. And I feel that there's so many great things that I see coming up for you too, or the beginning of something really positive or a new change in a real positive direction. There is something that I see that you need, or perhaps it needs to be addressed from the past. You know, that has to do with trust issues. I do see that. I see you coming. I see this relationship coming through to a really positive light.
Yeah, you're right, because we are going through some stuff, and it has been a little down and depressed lately. So with me, I've moved past. I'm in a better place, and I was trying to see, like, when would it be a good time to speak or talk about it, or just let him come on his own until whenever he's ready to talk. I'm going to push it. You understand?
Right. Now, I feel that right now, because I see his physical position is a bit detached, but it's not detached from your relationship. It's detached from his own being. So I feel that I'm encouraging you to just let it be for a little bit. Because, like I said, I just see a good turnaround. Without, you know, he doesn't need a nudge or anything. I just feel that he's going to be much more in a better place. And like I said, I see within 4 weeks a really positive turnaround.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you take care.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Texas. Hello, Texas. How are you?
Hello?
Hello. How are you doing this evening?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Well, how may I help you?
I am thinking of moving to another state, and I'm wondering if it's a good idea.
Okay. One second, let's find out if it's a good idea if you move or if you stay. All right, one second while I pick up on your situation, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Well, obviously, to me, it's better off in the long run if you move. Okay, now I'm not saying that if you do move that life is going to be great and permanently great, you know, right from the very beginning. However, it looks a lot better than if you stay. And plus, the benefits of moving, to my thinking, far outweigh the benefit, the long, especially the long-term benefits of staying. If you stay, I see also that you're going to miss out on an important romantic opportunity as well. So if you move, there will be romance, from judging from what I see here, and a lot of satisfaction aside from that. So, you know, and again, I'm not promising a rose garden, but short answer to your question is that you'll be better off moving in the long run, and probably in the short run too.
What do you mean by that?
It's just a better option. You'll be better off moving than staying.
Yeah, there's too much stress going on.
There's too much stress going on right now.
That's why I'm thinking of moving.
Well, if you know, I would encourage it. Judging from what I see here, if you moved, you would be a lot happier and sooner rather than later. And you'd be a lot wiser too, and, you know, in the long run as well. And it would just be, I think life would be much better for you if you did move, judging from what I see here. You know, if you ask for my 2 cents, I would encourage you to move and not remain where you're at. Your intuition is telling you this for a reason. And, you know, I normally don't say just, you know, mindlessly obey the intuition, but in this case, you can. And I think the reasons that your intuition are saying this are valid. So, you know, I think you should move, and I wish you all the best. Okay.
Excuse me?
I said
you feel like you should do that this year?
Well, whenever you can. The sooner the better.
Okay.
All right.
Is there anything else that you feel?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I wanted to add that I also see that when you move, that it looks as if your romantic life will improve as well. So that's one reason to move. I think that's going to clear up some romantic issues, maybe move some obstacles, and whatever your romantic situation is, I think it'll improve it, whatever it may be. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Nona Marie, we have a call for you from Kansas.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Kansas. Are you there? Is anybody there from Kansas?
Oh, Kansas, I have a Colorado number. I'm so sorry.
No problem. What's your name?
My name is Ashley. Did you say nickname?
No, I just said name, so Ashley's good.
Oh, okay.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I'm young, I'm 23, but I've been told many times I'm an old spirit, so I get a lot of feelings. I have recently moved up from Florida. I was swept off my feet from a guy that I had lost my virginity to, and we reconnected 10 years later, and it just feels like everything was so perfect. I moved that month when he got back from leave from the Army. A couple months later, I ended up being pregnant. I have a beautiful 6-month-old now. We ended up getting custody of his 5-year-old. And then I also have a son who's going to be 6 who lives with us. So both of their, my son's father and his mother, they're really connected much with our kids. And I'm pretty much just that main person here. And I came from a really bad relationship, and I've been hurt quite a bit in my past, and I don't know if it's my insecurities or the postpartum depression. I don't understand what's the friction here. Most of it started when his mom moved up. I felt that she was jealous of how much his son had attached to me because he was living with her before he came up here. And just ever since then, our relationship has been rocky, and it's bringing out sides of me that I haven't seen in years since I was in an abusive relationship. And I'm irritable all the time and confused, and I don't understand if I'm on the right path or if it's myself that I'm battling with that I need to improve, or, if he's doing.
Right. So this, we take one focused question on the show, and you have a lot of other material there. So let's focus in on one thing, but also just to say, feel free to call back and get some more help, more information from people. But for the purpose of this time, what would be your priority question?
My priority question would probably be, am I in the right relationship? Or is this just something I'm using to try to mend other wounds?
Okay, good question. So I think for now you are in the right relationship. And I do think, relationships change and we go through ups and downs. And we do get things triggered in us in relationships to make us grow, to force us to work through things. So it feels to me like both of you are spinning out a little bit. And I don't believe that he necessarily would go get any help, but I think that you would. And I think you need some support. And whether it's a woman's support group or a 12-step meeting or a therapist, anything where you can start to have a sounding board to work out some of your feelings and what's going on. And I think there's also some nutritional issues going on that is affecting your nervous system. So when we eat badly, it can really put us into a full-fledged mood problem. So I would say to you also clean up how you're eating, make it so that you're eating better with protein and vegetables and stuff like that, and not eating a lot of junk food. That will make a very big difference for you as well. But it does not feel like you're in a disastrous time in this relationship, just a challenging one. And given your history and given your past, relationships are going to stir up a lot of your past that you have not yet handled. So I would say go find somebody or a group to go get some support in handling your feelings, and you will make it through this. And I don't think you have to bail on this relationship right now at all.
Thank you so much. And you really nailed it with the nutrition. I'm breastfeeding and I have such a poor appetite, and I barely eat once a day.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get that fixed up. So, wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, so eating is really important, and eating well is really important, particularly for where you're at right now. And the great thing about getting help and sharing stories with people is you don't feel so isolated and you don't feel so crazy. You feel like, oh yeah, people go through this, and you get some ideas about how to get through it. When we used to not live in giant cities, we ran around in tribes, and we had elders, and we had people around us, like extended family, that helped us. But we don't have that in our modern culture, so we have to go looking for it. So I would say go look for it, and you will find it, and I think you'll be in fine shape. I really do.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling in, sweetie.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like to get a reading from Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from New Jersey for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from New Jersey? Hello, New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hi there. What's your name?
Arnett.
Arnett, can we help you?
Hi. I was calling to see if you see me traveling anytime soon.
I couldn't hear your question, Arnett. I'm sorry. Could you say that again for me?
I was calling to see if you see me traveling out of state anytime soon, taking like a mini vacation.
A vacation? Let's see. Yes, I feel that you will, actually. The cards say that you will. Something you've wanted to do for quite some time. I don't feel that it's imminent. I feel that you need a little time before it happens for you, Arnett. And I'll look at when I feel that is. I'll look at the cards for you. Intuitively, I don't feel that it's it's this year. Intuitively, I'm drawn to next year. And I'm actually drawn to March. Let's see if the cards give me a time frame to confirm that. Let's see. The cards are great for getting time frames, and it's a great way to confirm what you sense.
Okay.
March, April, the cards are saying to me, Arnett. So I don't feel it's imminent, but yes, you will travel out of state. Okay.
Okay. All right. Will it be like to an island or like to visit friends or family? You can't tell that.
I don't feel it's an island. I feel that you're staying on the mainland, and I feel that you feel that you're going west, if that helps.
Okay.
Not an island. Okay?
Okay.
So, I hope you have a great time when you go on it. You deserve it. You've worked hard.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you'd like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller now from New York for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, New York.
Hello?
Hi. What can I help you with?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Okay. You can help me out. Tonight I took a walk and I went past one of these, what are they, you know, like the ear piercing place and tattoo and I saw an interesting statue of, you know, clay made of St. Francis, but he had all serpents tying around him. So I said, let me see what this is. I went in and I said, what is that, some sort of St. Francis? And the guy was a real big biker type, you know, and he says, oh, no, it's death. And I says, what do you mean death? He goes, oh, you're going to die in 17 months. I went, okay, and I walked out the door. Then I says, no, no, I'm not letting him get away with this. I'm a little 4'11". I went in there and I says, what the hell are you talking about? I said, are you some sort of a psychic or something? And he didn't, got all flustered that somebody talked up against him. I says, you have no right to tell a person that. I says, you could hurt somebody very badly. And, you know, he was trying to make all kinds of excuses for himself, you know. But I told him, I says, you don't do that. I says, you can make somebody get sick. Well, anyway, what do you think of that? That people, how do you handle people like that?
Well, I think you handled that person extremely well. In fact, anybody listening to this out there right now, I think my feeling is you really, your personal power is intact. I feel your question is, how do you handle people like that? You're a direct reflection of exactly that, you know, and it does feel like there may have been a time many years ago that would have, well, for anybody that would have created some, you put something out there like that and a person will believe it and something will happen.
I know, it's like the same thing about voodoo, when people truly believe that these other people have powers, you know, and then they will make themselves sick, you know, just by that power of suggestion.
Exactly. You know, it really looks like, well, to me, you really took a hold of your personal power. And, excuse me.
I got all choked up, but you know, maybe I'm learning a lesson by dealing with people like this. I don't know, you know.
No, I feel that actually you were able to really approach this with a really great, like I said, complete personal power, whereas maybe 15 years ago you wouldn't have been able to. But by doing what you did, you said that he kind of was taken off guard with that. No, he can't do that. And so by you, and you said you're 4 foot, you're sweet. You're 4 foot, you said your height, being very petite.
Yeah, 4 foot 11, and the size is like way over 6 feet and huge. Then he says, how old do you think I am? I says, you're about 50 years old. He goes, no, I'm only 32. So I says, you should take off some of that weight. Maybe you'll look young. I told him.
Well, I would like to have you on my side on every little thing that might happen. And, you know, really, this is anybody listening right now to this question or your call, it's a call. I really applaud you because you didn't have to accept that. Nobody should accept anything like that in any parts of their life. And it's symbolic with what you're talking about in any sort of any situation. And you did exactly the right thing. And you detached from the negativity that you could have been engulfed in, like a lot of people are.
It's so easy to.
Yeah.
I said, let me buy that statue and I'll create a halo around him in a couple of months. You know, that's how I feel. Because I've seen it happen all my life. I've seen people do that. When I was 20 years old, I had a very psychic sister-in-law, and she told me I only had a few months to live. I was going to die young, sign off where my son was going to go, and I spent so many years being frightened. Then I developed a panic disorder, and finally I said, you know, this is full of crap. You know, no one should talk like that.
No, and you know, this is a really good point. And you took it upon yourself, your personal power. Like I said, probably 15 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. And I feel that if everybody took care of their own personal power and took it back, it's not just this situation, but many situations in all areas and all relationships and everything that we do in life, we'd be better off. And we don't need those type of relationships to the negativity of what others feel that they can create or, you know, feel powerful. That's a bad connection. I applaud you. I applaud you. And if everybody can hear this call, it's just a great call. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much now. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And if you would like a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, who am I speaking with in Ohio?
Ohio. Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
With Sherry.
Hi, Sherry, how may I help you?
Well, you see anything good for me?
Do I see anything good? Is there anything good coming up for Sherry? Let's see what we got here. Well, surprisingly enough, there is some good coming up for you, Sherry. I'm not going to say it's going to change your life or anything like that. However, but I do expect you to experience a benefit in the area of relationships. Somehow you're going to get a help or an assistance, probably from a male is what I'm picking up on, and it's going to make you happy. It's going to come in right when you need it to. So, you know, if luck has been kind of bad, it does look like it's going to change for you here coming up in the next few weeks, okay? So on the one hand, sure, times are tough, but on the other hand, there's relief when you need it, and that's coming through loud and clear here, Sherry, okay?
Yeah, I hope, because I'm trying to get out of debt soon.
Oh, man, aren't we all? Man, everybody is hurting in this terrible, terrible economy. And, you know, what can we do? We just keep going forward and trying to plunge ahead. And, you know, fortunately for you, you know, you'll be getting a little assistance here. It won't fix everything, but it'll make, you know, it'll help you kind of go along there. So, you know, just keep your head up and hang in there, Sherry, okay?
I will. Thank you, sir, very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay.
What
are we
going
with? Bye-bye, Sherry. Okay. All right, we have a caller now for Nona Marie from Wisconsin.
Hello, Wisconsin. Are you there? Hello.
Hi.
Is the person from Wisconsin, the caller from Wisconsin,
hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Oh, hi. There you are. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Sam.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. How can I help you?
I have a question. I've been talking to this dude for like a month now, and I wanted to know, like, do you see us going anywhere, or like, you think like we just stop talking?
And what's the first name of this person?
Kay.
Say again?
Kay.
Jay?
Kay, like T-A-E.
Oh, C-A-E, like K?
No, T as in talk.
Oh, P-A-E.
Yes.
Okay. So,
I think this has been a big flirt. This person does not feel single to me. Feels like there's a lot of activity going on the side. So this is, to me, not a monogamous person and somebody who's only interested in a little bit of sexual action and not much else past that. So if you're interested in that, it would be a good mix. But I think you're looking for a little bit more than that. I think you come off a little bit like tough and you don't care and that kind of thing. And, you know, happy person who has fun. But to me, you've actually got quite a tender heart. And I think you're actually really lonely on some level and you want somebody with some meaning in your life. So sometimes we have to empty the cup for it to be filled up again. In other words, we have to start saying no to bad things in our life, even though there's nothing else around the corner, and just kind of take out the garbage, so to speak, you know, clean out the room and then wait and something new and good will come in. So I would say to you, time to start walking away from kind of these, you know, online or phone flirtation type of things and start giving yourself a little bit of a rest. I think in 2 months, you have the opportunity to meet somebody that will mean something to you. But I will warn you, I think it will scare you a little bit because as nonchalant as you try to come off, I think you have a very big, soft, tender heart. And when you meet somebody who really likes you, I think you're the one that's going to get a little bit scared with that. I want to give you a heads up on that so you don't run away, but instead, you know, face your fears, work through it, and work yourself into a relationship. It's been a long time for you. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Yep.
Thank you very much. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. Steve, you have a caller from Pennsylvania.
Hi there. Who's calling from Pennsylvania?
Hello, Steve. This is Penny.
Penny, did you say?
Patty? Can you hear
did
me?
Did you say your name is Patty? Yes. Did you say your name is Patty?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Penny. Can you hear me?
Oh, hold on. One second. How about now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I was wondering if there's any job opportunities coming around anytime soon for me.
Let's have a look for you, Penny.
Was born in October. I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah, I feel as though you've been concerned about this for quite some time, Penny. I feel it's several months. But I know that finances have been tough as well, but that's normal if you've been looking for work. I do feel that there's an opportunity for you. You know, the cards that are in my spread here that reflect the past are challenging, so that enables me to see that you've had a tough time. But you've got a beautiful card here, and it indicates that, yes, you will find an opportunity. And not only that, but it will be a really good opportunity for you. It will be a role that you feel really good about, and working with people that you feel really good about. You're extremely warm-hearted, Penny. You're very caring towards other people. You're also smart and creative, and I feel absolutely it will work out for you. I'm drawn to about the 27th, Penny. Now, I don't feel that that's when you actually start the role or begin the opportunity. I feel that that's when you're applying, that's when you're expressing an interest in the opportunity. And then I feel that later in this year that, yes, you do have an opportunity and you can do very well. And you've got a lot to offer, Penny. You should feel very confident, because although you've been looking for some while, you have so much to offer, and you must keep that in mind. You're a really wonderful person. I feel that, and you know, I'm sure that it will work out for you.
Is it 27th, like tomorrow 27th or November 27th?
I'm drawn to October 27th.
I'm sorry, October. Okay.
So I've lost.
Okay.
Yeah, I've lost track of the date exactly. We're at the end of September, aren't we? So towards the end of October, you'll see an opportunity that really excites you. And I don't feel that you need to move or relocate. It's nearby. It's a few miles from where you're located. Okay?
Okay. Can you pick up on an industry? Because I have such a diverse background.
What I'll say to you, Penny, is I feel you'll be very much involved with people. It's very much a role that's about people. That's what I feel for you. And it's a role that, you know, you're very well qualified to take. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, Penny. You're welcome. Right. Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling, Penny, and thank you, Steve. If you'd like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Maureen, you have a caller from Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Massachusetts. Hello?
Hello, hi, Maureen.
Hi, who's this?
Steve.
Oh, hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Do you see me in a relationship anytime soon?
Okay, let me check on that for you. Okay, you know, actually, what I'm seeing here is that everything that you do wish and desire as far as being in an ideal relationship, I do see it, I see the energy surrounding you to be very good. So, but I also feel that this is something that's, I do see a female, and it looks like somebody that you know of already, and I do see her without man, so she's available, and which is great. And I do feel that she's also a very strong woman that doesn't need to be in a relationship if necessary, which is, I feel, is another great plus. Is there, you know, also I feel that you've known her for like a while. Is there someone on your mind particularly that you were thinking about when you asked me that question?
Nah, there's no one right now.
Well, I do see somebody, I see this is somebody that you know of, and I do feel that you've, it's almost like as soon as you are able to detach from one thing, I feel that perhaps maybe some of the stuff that you've been going through with your family, I feel that your attention's able to shift really well into a relationship opportunity. It looks fantastic. I also see a, it looks very good. It looks like, are you wanting to be in a lifelong committed journey situation?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, no, that's good. This is definitely somebody, you know, but it's somebody I feel from your past that you know of from your past, but it looks very positive and it looks like it's going to be very fulfilling. And I do feel it will be after the July 2015 that this will start, you know, bringing itself into light. And I do feel that's actually within 2 months, actually the very start of 2015, it looks very positive, and I feel that you're able to focus on a relationship at that time as well.
Okay, thank you very much, appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve, for calling.
Good having your voice.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you would like a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from California. Hello, California. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, good evening. Hello. Thank you for calling. How may I help you?
Hi. I was just wondering, like the other caller... about getting into a relationship. I'm not seeing anybody at the moment, but just wonder what you see for me in the near future.
All right. Well, let's find out if you'll be in relationship within the next 6 months or so, okay? Let's see what the next 6 months are going to look like for you. Wow. You know, sometimes when I get readings like this, I worry that the person is going to think that I'm making it up. It's that good. Now, you know, I'm going to calibrate this a little bit toward the pessimistic because, you know, it is actually kind of nice. I don't want to get your hopes up, but everything seems consistently pointing in the direction of relationship for you within 6 months or so. Maybe a little wiggle room on the time factor here. Could be 7 months, could be 5 months or something like that. But what's very clear to me is that you are on the verge of a significant transformation. This is this energy is going to be almost spring-like in terms of its power to rejuvenate you. And there's a man at the end of this transformation process. I'm picking up on him. He's either going to be artistic or corporate, in the sense he's going to be very much like Venus. Venus is art, but Venus is also money and capitalism. And at any rate, he's going to be fixed in his ways, very attractive. And that's what I got for you right now. I mean, I'm not willing to say that he's going to be, you know, Prince Charming or Mr. Right, but, you know, it looks to me like you got a shot at this guy, and he's a pretty good guy. I'm willing to say that much for you there. And to me, it's pretty good. Looks great.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you here next week.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and unfortunately, we are out of time. If we could not get to you, I apologize for that. Please try calling us back next week. We will get to you at some point, we promise. We're going to be here every Thursday evening. You know where to find us. By all means, come and visit us again, and we will get to you. But we have reached the end of yet another wonderful show. We'd like to thank Doug, who toils behind the scenes to keep us all on track and to make everything work right. Also, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Maureen, Nona Marie, and Steve. And Maureen, you've got something planned for us next week, right?
Yes, I do. I'm echoing. Yes, Mark Van Limbo will be joining us. She's an author and the owner of the Crystal Garden, and she'll be talking about crystals. And it's going to be a lovely, lively, straightforward, kind of playful show on crystals.
Awesome. I love crystals. They're so powerful and attractive. So I'm going to look forward to that. You guys heard it here. Maureen's going to be doing the show next week. Do not miss that. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll see you in 7 days.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.